أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. ألا إنهم مفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون. صدق الله العظيم.
Every human being in the society, or whether he's at home or outside, he has this desire, he holds this desire, that life should be peaceful. Such a life which is peace beyond peace, no sickness, no problem, just cool, and life of content. And opposite to that is a life of quarrel. And due to quarrels and disputes, a person's life of peace ends. Everything else he can, you know, handle, but fighting and quarreling is such a thing that with this, a person, he loses the sense of peace, anxiety at home. Every man wants, every wife wants, every husband wants. His children want this, that at home there should be no quarrel or fight. Every mother and father has a desire that my children should be obedient, whatever I say, etc., they should do. Which wife is there who doesn't have this desire? That my husband, he should appreciate me, value me, and we should work together, understand each other, compatibility. Which husband is there who doesn't have this desire that my wife, she should follow my preferences, and we should have an understanding so we can assist each other, because all assistance ends. Mother and father will pass, relatives will pass, children grow up, they leave. Until the grave, the husband and wife are together. That's how fantastic a relationship it is. But unfortunately, we see that in our society, most of all, the difficult relationship today is the husband-wife. In whichever home you see, there's facade. Whichever home you see, there are problems. I've seen very seldom, the brothers, where very seldom I've seen that there's no clash or fracture between husband and wife. Maybe they're suppressing each other. Maybe it comes out like suddenly. But the difference is there, present. It's not that which a human being has the desire, such an assistant is my husband or wife, that will continue with me until the grave, she'll go with me or he'll go with me. What a great relationship if we see. What a great relationship. And with this assistance, sincerity, love, Allah Ta'ala has put this in this relationship. So then that home becomes Jannah, paradise. So such a husband, he will do every action with happiness. He will persevere through difficulties. If he has good relations with his wife, a good compatibility, good connection. Every way a wife, she will go through poverty, difficulty. If they've got a tight situation in life, if there's no happiness in the worldly material things, but if there's love between them, then with ease she will pass through the life without any complaints and criticism. But where there's difference, doesn't matter if she's got big cars, if you park them up and give her gold in her hands, whatever you want, you can give her the gifts and lengthy big cars and nice assets. But if in the heart there's a difference, then that house, it's like Jahannam. And it just stays between them two. This affects the children, and it goes beyond the children, that they've brought them up in that environment. What I'm trying to say is that the biggest thing in the life of a person, his desire for the human being, is that he wants to live the life with peace. And if he's home, there should be peace. And this is about home we're discussing. Even you have to go into society, in the world. You have to go to your workplace, shop, business place, or an office you have to work at, or if you have to work for somebody. Every day you have to live in society, mingle in society. And then you have to face other challenges there. So there, A person has a desire in the world, I want a peaceful environment, whether I'm running a business, if I'm working for somebody or running my business, occupation. So what I want is that a life of peace, no disputes, no quarrels, work and take my salary, go home, no fighting, quarreling, no argument with anybody. And then we have society that's around us. We don't want any crime, theft. Nobody should come to my shop to steal. Nobody should come home to steal, burglary. Nobody should grab hold of my neck, take a loot my wealth or break into my car. Nobody should argue with me, fight with me, or dishonor me, or disrespect me. This is the effects of society that we have around us. So all these points that I'm discussing with you and mentioning, if we attain all of this, that what we don't want, then tell me, what an ideal life. What an ideal life. This is a dream, is it? Is this something, a vision, a mirage? But this is reality that's around us, within our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't created us so we should fight and quarrel, break our rights and steal and take people's wealth and usurp people's rights and fighting at home, crying at home, fasad outside, fasad in the children, stealing this, taking that person's wealth, business, deceiving people. This is not why Allah Ta'ala has created us, is it? And all of these things, as I mentioned to you, happiness should be such: home, family, happiness, outside, office, business place, no threat, no hazard. This is not impossible. It's not impossible. Rather, 100% it's from amongst the possibilities. 100% it is possible to achieve this. What's the reason? Look, the human being has nafs and shaitan, desires, base desires, and shaitan, Satan, two big enemies of the human being. We think that that deen is an obstacle for us. No, rather, our life in society, shaitan and nafs also put barriers up. Nafs and shaitan, not just in our deeni life, but also societal life. This is their mission, that they want to take us from the deen, but they are so much against us. Shaitan is so opposed to us, and enemy of us. Allah says, aduhum mubeen, avowed enemy. In a few places Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this. He is not a mine enemy. If a small enemy doesn't leave you, then the biggest enemy, will he be happy with your happiness? Will he be happy that you should be happy, your wife is happy with you, and the husband's happy with the wife, and the children are happy with you, and there's peace at home? Tell me, will the enemy allow that? Will he be accept that? Never will he accept that. Never will he allow that. So if shaitan is adu mubin, then how will he accept and allow the husband and wife are happy amongst each other? In the same way, how will shaitan allow that we get a society with happiness, no quarrels, no disputes? How will shaitan allow that if I run my business, it's totally smooth and happy? So all of the fasad, all of the evil and wickedness, the root of this is what? Is our nafs and shaitan. Base desires and shaitan. These are the two forces, from home to society to environment to our whole life. From a family life to the outside life, shaitan and nafs create this fasad. It's not our wife that's fighting, it's shaitan who's creating that quarrel, that dispute. Nafs and shaitan, when they overwhelm a person, then he starts to follow his base desires, his nafs, his desires of his nafs. You know, his whims, his opinions, and the nafs, his desires have controlled him, and they are making him practice. Shaitan has controlled that person, and shaitan and nafs are making him live his life. So tell me, the house, if an enemy is controlling your home, and he wants to run your home according to his preference, then can that home have peace? Can that person's life be full of peace, contentment? Can the environment and society be full of peace? Can the area around us and the people around us be full, give us peace? No, totally not, because shaitan, our enemy, the nafs, have controlled this. So shaitan and the nafs will enable those actions which cause destruction, which cause loss, crying, and pain and anguish. So, nafs and shaitan, the base desires of man and his passions, his negative passions and shaitan control him, when he starts to follow their path, then he becomes a worldly person, a material person, his shame in his eyes, and there will be no, you can say, atom of that person who is, you can say, doing right. Rather, he'll be selfish and follow his desires and run after the world. Yes, he will betray his principles. And I'd just like to say with apologies, not 95%, rather close to 100% people are like this today. My words maybe are bitter or strict, don't take badly or negatively what I'm saying, but if we don't expose ourselves, if we don't speak the truth, yeah, I remember Hazrat Sahib has reminded me of this couplet, SubhanAllah, that how can I not speak the truth? Allah has given me an opportunity that we're sitting down and we're thinking about something good, and then why shouldn't we discuss good things, learn good things? They may seem bitter, but if we accept these, it will be very good, alhamdulillah. So dunya, the person who's a worldly person, if the nafs and shaitan have controlled him, he follows his opinions and whims and desires and his passions. Today, not 99, rather 100% people are doing this today. 100% people are doing this today. And amongst them, those people are more, forget others, those who have Quran, Hadith, Bukhari, and they have Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and the kitab's names. Which are the kitab's names, shall I tell you? The list is lengthy. Uloom, knowledge, if you go to their bookshelf, in every home you go, mashallah, it's a fashion. Oh, kitabs, stacks of books, and they've made a shelf for the kitabs. They've got there in your drawing room, living room, so people see, oh, he's educated person. One person, I went to his house, he sat me down, and he said, look, all of these, this is my library. I could see it, mashallah, there was a glass in front of the bookshelf. And he made some people, they make it, and some people they hide so that the kitabs is a cloth in front. But some people put the glass in front. Look how many kitabs I've got. And there's only one kitab if you take from that bookshelf. Just one. And the Quran Hakim is enough for you. One. That's it. If you take all the books and just pick up the Quran Hakim, that's enough. There's no need for anything else in reality. Yes. Then after picking up that Quran, just one verse if you practice it. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim, the first surah. Then you have no need to look beyond that for success, for the solutions. No need for tafsir, commentaries, nothing. This verse, this surah will tell us, اَذَنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, automatically will take you to the right path. Automatic car. It's an automatic car. Surah Al-Fatiha, you sit in it, and it's turned the ignition. اَذَنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, let it play, and it will take you to the destination with Allah's fadl, Allah's grace. Automatically, you won't need a driver. It will be a driverless car. You won't need to change the gear. It will be automatic. Just turn the ignition on. اَذَنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This car will take you to the destination, the Qur'an. So, what is this? That the desires of a person, when he starts to control them, obviously if he's controlling them, then he'll drive the car of life in the correct way. So a worldly person, the worldly person who looks for his own benefit, his life has one principle, whether father, son, mother, sister, uncle from either side, wife, father's brother, son, nobody is any rights in front of him. He'll look at his benefit. Where's my benefit? Where's my benefit? I want money after selling this house. How much money will I get? He has no needy things to give the share to his sister. How much share to the brother? No. You see, what is my success? What's my right? What's my share? He'll shout out to his children. He'll give to his children. The stage will come. And even his children are nothing for him. He'll just think about his benefit upon his benefit. He will be a person who will be worshipping his benefit, worldly person, running after his best benefit. How can you trust him? How can you accept his promises? How can you say that he is speaking honestly? He will not leave anybody, the worldly person, in his wake. He will follow his desires, nafs. The Quran, clearly the verses will come, inshallah, if we continue. Clearly it's explained that the person who follows his desires, who's that person? It will clearly explain. Allah has defined in detail, explained the points. Yeah, I'm speaking to you generally at the moment, generally. SubhanAllah. So today the society we are living in, why is it spoiled? The people of Iman we're looking towards. That's the question I'm putting forward. They tell me that have we got a peaceful society, happiness? Is there anywhere where there is no facade? Wickedness from the masjid, from the place of worship to the homes. Okay, let's go to the masjid for peace. And there will be arguments and quarrels. More police are standing there. Oh, there's a fight here. There's a quarrel here. There's a clash. A priest already standing there to grab hold of those people who disputes. They're fighting amongst each other in the masjid. He's saying, I want this seat. I want the chairman. I want to be the secretary. And they're quarreling and fighting the election. So where will they get peace and contentment in the masjid? It's not even in the masjids. Places of worship. That's the place of sakina, peace. So brothers, what is this? The reason is nafsani desires, nafsati desires, the base desires of shaitan have controlled us, the nafs and shaitan, and we follow them. Why do we follow them? There's a reason, the Quran says. There's a reason. What's the reason that we follow the shaitan and our base desires and passions and negative passions and the peace that we want and that's turned into quarrels and fights? No, it's very difficult to find peace and contentment. Very difficult even to shake someone's hand and maintain the peace. I can't remember that couplet in my mind. I can't remember the words. How easily with the hearts we trust people and easily we deceive people. I can't remember that couplet now. The words, the verse. If it's a friend, the friend is he, and you shake his hand, what do you attain? So we extend the hand of friendship because we think somebody's sincere, but he's not the friend. Yes, remember this. With pride we say this, don't trust him, don't trust him. That person, you're standing in one line, Mahmood and Ayaz, but we don't trust each other. That is the place where we pray salah. We pray salah. Imam, the imam doesn't trust the muqtadis. Muqtadis don't trust the imam. So what about the rest of society? Where we pray together, we don't trust each other. Reason? Reason for this is one. Allah says, fasad. Why is there fasad in the world? What is the reason for mischief and fasad and evil and wicked mongery? Why? What's the reason? Allahu Akbar. There's only one reason for the spread of wickedness in the world and evil. Negative society, there's one reason the Quran explains. That the person who came to remove this fasad, the person who came with the points to remove evil in society, the person who came to teach the human beings humanity and take humanity to the peaks.
And Malikin Balahu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam qala bustu li'utimim husnul akhlaq.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Ba'uthtu, I was sent. Why? To do one action. One to implement one action. To complete and seal and teach. Utimma, to complete, make complete the teaching of akhlaq. Yes, Rasulullah sallam said clearly that I came with to teach and seal the completeness, to complete the subject of utimma. Akhlaq, to distribute, to present, to complete the subject of akhlaq. In other words, to make the whole world Jannah, paradise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the reason for me coming, the objective of me to be sent to the world, Hazrat, subhanAllah, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, this is the reason why I came to the world. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, qala, bu'ithtu, lu'timma, husnul akhlaq. Subhanallah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that in the world there was darkness, wickedness, fasad, evil had spread. And when the earth became a place of extreme evil and wickedness, Allah ta'ala sent me to the world. What was the reason, said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So that I could teach the beauty of akhlaq, good moral character, good conduct and manners across the world. Subhanallah. In other words, what does this mean? That I wanted to complete the subject of akhlaq. To complete means what? Subhanallah. That those things I want to explain to these people. With what? That will we open the kitab and learn? No. Will a dars be given? A sermon be given? No. I see forgiveness. Suddenly my throat has been affected. Water is not close to me, otherwise I'd drink. So brothers, a book will not explain. No sermon will explain. The Prophet ﷺ said, I've been sent to the world. قَالَ بُعِثْتُ I've been sent with this in this way, that my every action it will spread and beautify akhlaq, subhanAllah, it will eliminate and make fasad disappear. My smiling, said the Prophet, my walking, my moving, my speaking, my looking, my every single action will be like this. My every single action will be like this. And no action until Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, will be hidden. My actions at home, my azwaj, my wives will share to the world. I used to sleep like this, lie down like this. Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha would share every single habit of the Prophet. My body, my hand would touch like this. His blessed feet used to touch like this. How he touched me. Everything, how where I drank water from, that the Prophet, where I drank from, the Prophet drank from. That does anyone tell you about the secrets of the home? Yes, has anyone who tells you about his wife or the wife about the husband? But this is a hukum that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the world for this reason. Boistu, I was sent for this purpose, to spread and share and teach akhlaq and manners and human conduct, social conduct to the world. Because the Prophet ﷺ was the complete jama'i example of sakina, of peace and contentment. He is rahmatul alameen, the mercy to the universe. His coming was a mercy to the universe. His every action was a mercy to the universe. SubhanAllah. His every action is rahmah, mercy. That's why the actions of Rasulullah rahmatul alameen, Allah Ta'ala created the greatest generation of human beings, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, to record and share his great habits. They were unique, they were different. Allah selected them, their thinking, their style, their manners, their hearts, their bodies, their perseverance, endurance, subhanAllah, because they had to implement a great action. What was that? The first of all, Allah Ta'ala taught them perseverance, that so that and that strength that they could see, could continuously the beautiful face of the Prophet, some 30, 40, 50 years, such a great nur, morning to evening, they used to witness the blessed face of the Prophet from morning to evening. Imagine their eyes were unique, their hearts were unique, their understanding was unique, even their looking was different and unique. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Today, when the Prophet, if somebody sees the Prophet in a dream, and even though that it's a veil, because the dream is a veil, even if in the dream you do the ziyarah of the Prophet, then for the rest of your life you won't forget that blessed face. Such a nur comes into your mind and your heart. You cannot imagine the feelings and what, even that is in a dream which is behind the veil. It's not physical reality. But imagine the Sahaba Ikram, their eyes were made unique by Allah. And such an achievement that, subhanAllah, they used to sit with their knees touching the knees of the Prophet. They used to shake the hands of the Prophet. They used to drink his water that he left over. They used to wipe his saliva onto their faces. They used to drink from the water that he used to leave over. And the water he used for ablution, they would save that. And they would collect his sweat. SubhanAllah. So it cannot be a normal human being. Such a great personality, the Holy Prophet, to sit close to him, to look at him, to breathe next to him, to hear his breathing. SubhanAllah, so the Sahabi Rasul, were they some normal people? Today's Muslim, subhanAllah, is so disrespectful. He speaks about the Sahaba and he calls him a Muslim. I've told you in the previous verses that we've recited and read and discussed that which quality of Muslim is there today, and who is the munafiq who has the hypocrisy? They are here. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ We're talking about that today. So why is fasad, mischief spread around the world today? Allah said, I sent you raham, mercy. The Prophet ﷺ was a rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the universe. Such a great personality, the greatest personality. He wasn't a normal human being. He wasn't normal. As Ibrahim alayhi salam, he wasn't like Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Musa alayhi salam, he wasn't like as Isa alayhi salam, he wasn't like as Yunus alayhi salam. He wasn't like all the other prophets. He wasn't like them. Has a Yuqub alayhi salam, has a Yusuf alayhi salam. No, all of the Anbiya alayhi salam who passed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, they were all, you could say, the effects of the light of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. Specks under the light. They were shade under the light. From Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Such great prophets, great qualities, beauty, characteristics. SubhanAllah, their kingdoms, their lands. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam. And his beautiful melodious voice and such beautiful quality. Every prophet has qualities. Every prophet came with qualities to the world. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the collection of all of that. SubhanAllah, they were all, you could say, the specks of the beautiful, complete seal who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those people who reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the most ungrateful people. Munafiq word is a nice word to use. A nice suggestion for today's Muslim. The word munafiq is a very, very nice word to use. A very minor word. We can understand the punishment that we put our hands on the Quran. The Holy Prophet ﷺ's glory we know. We accept. We've kept Qurans at home. The Quran bears witness, testifies about his glory, his greatness. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, I speak about them. That we can't even imagine their status. The one Sahabi, one companion, somebody gave an example that the one companion, if you look at, let's say, that the dust that comes out of his nostril, or even if the dust that touches his feet, that a Qutb Abdal of any generation cannot reach to the dust on the foot of a Sahabi. So imagine the Rasulullah who made the Sahaba. Who subhanAllah, who gave the tarbiyah to the Sahaba, that due to his great, great company, such stars emanated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ بُوِثْتُ أُتِمَّ, that I came to teach and distribute and complete akhlaq. What was his husn akhlaq? Akhlaq husna. He said that in the houses, no husband should be upset with, fight with his wife. No wife should fight with her husband. The children should have love. There should be love between the relatives. No fasad. Go to the office, peace. Go to the marketplace, buying, selling, peace. Society. Every society, every city, every person, giving, taking, buying, selling, whatever your actions, dealings in our lives, there's peace. The Prophet ﷺ was sent and he came to teach us peace. And how will he teach us peace? Not through books, not through sermons. Rather, is every single action. SubhanAllah will give you dawah, will invite you to leave bad and to create peace. That if we select his actions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 124,000 companions were prepared. That was their job function. They were given the strength that they could see the Prophet ﷺ. Their eyes could sustain that pressure by looking at the Prophet ﷺ. They could sustain that huge pressure. They were given the strength. Allah Ta'ala gave them the brain, the ability, the capacity to see and absorb and see and witness the Prophet ﷺ lifestyle. Despite staying hungry for weeks or days, their hunger would suddenly disappear. For a second, they would do the ziyarah of the blessed face of the Prophet, their hunger would disappear. That with a date, their hunger would disappear. Imagine why Allah Ta'ala created these great human beings, the Sahaba Ikram, because they were to record and witness and share every blessed action and habit of the Prophet till Qiyamah, so that the Ummatis, the believers afterwards, could live their lives with peace and contentment. Say SubhanAllah, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? A peaceful life we could observe. This is our ideal life. The ideal of a house, family is full of peace. Husband-wife relationship full of peace. So if we leave this path, if we leave and forget the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we forget his practice, rather forget about forgetting, we've rejected them. And we say they're fadool and they're wasteful. We think they're a barrier to our life and we cannot succeed without them. And we can succeed without them. And to practice them will take us backward. And they're obstacle for us, astaghfirullah. And in comparison, opposite to the sunnah, we rather prefer and respect the path of the strangers and the people who are ghair to the deen, and we crush the sunnah and his beloved practice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say that, for example, he used to sit down and eat. Why did he eat with his hands? All the practice we say is backward and it's a waste. And we believe in Allah, we say. And then we say we are mu'mins, we are Muslims. That the person who considers them as Muslims, even he is not a Muslim. That how can there be a greater rejection? This Azim Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the Imam of all the Anbiya, subhanallah, who is the Sartaj, the King of the Kings, the King of the Prophets. And to live a life against him, and then to think of that person with iman is not correct. He is the King, the Supreme King of the Anbiya. Such a station of Mahmood, and he will be given the green flag standard, and a beautiful attire will be given him to wear, and all the people of the world will be stood beneath him, and people will be looking. And please do dua and pray to Allah that we can come out of this difficulty on the day of resurrection. SubhanAllah. Prophets will be passing, looking, seeking the Holy Prophet. We are his ummatis, we are in his nation, and we reject his ways, we shun his ways, and then we seek peace in our homes. SubhanAllah, cannot be. Wah, wah, wah. What people we are, what brains we have, what understanding we have, what consciousness we have. We are very intellectual, eh? We have understanding, we've reached an advance. No, we've left the deen. We don't like dhoti, izhar. What is this imam? What are these beards? No. We feel pity on those people who wear this. Astaghfirullah. I remember by chance, I went to Karachi. Oh, so sad to share this. And one dear colleague, I went to meet him. and he was from our city. We didn't study, but he was senior to me. He lived in our locality, his house was nearby. So they said, let me introduce you to General Khalid. Okay, fine, it'll be quite a long time we haven't met. He was an officer, and mashallah, the other person, he was in our locality when we used to study. So we went, three of us. So I was in this attire, Alhamdulillah's karam and his grace due to Hazrat Sadqa, due to the blessedness of his feet and his shoes, bit of understanding, wisdom came to mind. This attire, this is the real way of life, isn't it? This appearance and attire. So when we went there, General Sahib was sitting there, that style of officers, pomp and glory, you know, the way of the, like we are slaves that we've taken from our masters, that we begged for this way that we took from the masters. So first of all, he looked at me, he said, took my name, he said, is it you? After such a long time we'd met, he said, what have you done to yourself? Astaghfirullah, what have you made yourself to be? That nonsense, he told me. I said, please give me permission, I want to leave. And I couldn't eat there. I couldn't stay there. That day I couldn't eat. Such a Muslim he is. He's saying these words after seeing me. He used dirty, impure words. That what have you kept on your face? Astaghfirullah. What is this you're wearing on your head? What is this you've done? So this is what? Not one. Our whole society is full of these people. This way, this method. The Quran says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When they are told about the Holy Prophet and Sunnah Shari, when they crush it, such a facade, this mischief spreads around the world. It becomes a way of life. It becomes a methodology. It becomes an ideology. It becomes a mindset. This mindset, the Quran is explaining. It becomes their mission. Becomes the way of life. And this is the true facade, the mischief and evil. That's why peace is not in our homes, outside, in our society. Why is it ended? Because the so-called modernists who have spread, they have crushed the Sunnah Sharia. They say that the Sunnah Sharia is not necessary. I don't speak about the strangers who are not following faith. I speak about our own so-called Muslims. Forget about those who don't have faith. I'm talking about our own people. Whose names are these, Khalid and this and that, etc. I'm speaking about them. General Khalid I'm speaking about. Yes, he's passed away, I think, the poor soul. Where's he gone? Where's his general? Yes, the flesh has decayed in his body. Where's his bones are left in the grave. Where's that person, general? Where's his title? I'm sitting here still, alhamdulillah. And his bones, his skin has rotted and his flesh is rotted. What other will be coming? And the person goes with this aqidah. So these people have spread mischief around the world. How has the facade spread? Mischief, evil, wickedness was when the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought a lifestyle. And these things that were great and spread around the world, when we leave this and eliminate these, when this spreads around the world, and we follow our nafs and desires, become worldly people, dunya dar. And the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to teach us deen, make us deen dar, religious. But we leave that and take shaitan and nafs hands, we become worldly. Two opposite things. If you want to be a religious person following the deen, then take all of the hand of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if you want to be a worldly, material person, then take the hands of the nafs and shaitan and follow their ways and methods and ideology, and they will overwhelm you. Subhanallah. My master, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his glory, his way was one to eliminate wickedness and evil. What great practice he had, what beauty and glory he had in his life. Everything about him was glorious. There's a hadith, and I'd like to explain this hadith to you, brothers. We need to practice on it. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it came to teach us this. The Quran, this is the real tafsir of the Quran in the hadith. Don't become a mischief maker. When does a person become a mischief maker? Fasad at home, fasad outside, fasad in your home, peace will end, children will leave, they'll run away. When we allow this lifestyle to overwhelm us, following nafs and shaitan, when this overwhelms us, when we follow that and imitate that and love that. Yes? This is when fasad will start. That nothing will help you then assist you at that time. Yasin khatam, reciting Yasin Quran, nothing will assist you at that time. Nothing. Allah Ta'ala will not allow anything to progress at that time. Only one thing will give us happiness, peace. If today we want to understand this message, leave all of the darkness and take all of the beautiful, blessed hand of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the reason that he came, take his teaching. Okay, so now let's see his great lifestyle. What does this hadith say? Subhanallah, may I be sacrificed. May I be sacrificed on every action. May I be a sign for every action. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala Ali wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Millions and millions and millions of times over, Darood-i Sharif, Darood Pak, may we send on the Prophet ﷺ and on his ashab. The Prophet ﷺ states that, look, when the Prophet ﷺ would walk, this is Hakim ibn Sa'd, he narrates his hadith, that his style of walking, look at the noble companions, how they embraced his style of life and delivered it to us today. What's the reason? That somebody asked, how did the Prophet ﷺ used to walk? It was stated that Prophet ﷺ used to walk in such a way, his glory and status when he used to walk, he didn't walk to the right nor to the left. No, rather, he didn't look to the right or the left. Subhanallah, this is the hadith. The whole society taught how to walk. If we imitate this hadith and bring this into our lives, that when I leave the home and walk, I don't look to the right, don't look to the left. And I revive the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah, I swear by Allah Rabbul Izzat, that the roots of sin and evil will be eliminated. The roots. You won't look around, you won't deceive, you won't look with the evil eye, you won't look at big shops, the world won't come into me, I won't look at people's cars, I won't look at another person, I won't gossip manga, I won't backbite, I won't despise people, I won't look down people. If I don't look into the right or the left, and then I'll only remember one person, who's the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr will continue in my heart. Subhanallah, one hadith if we implement, subhanallah, when you leave home, you go outside, you don't look to the right, to the left. And women, anyway, their situation is different, that what reason they're allowed to go out. And I'm speaking about the menfolk at the moment. Menfolk. Women folk, there are conditions for leaving home. For the women, it's lazim, essential. There have been reasons in the hadith, the sunnah has been explained. On this reason, on this condition, for this excuse, you can leave home. But who follows this? Allahu Akbar, who follows this today? Nobody. So what is the teaching here? That the woman, for example, people going shopping to buy food, groceries, or going out, working, looking right, left, here, there. What's he doing? What's she doing? Look at that shop he's opened up. Oh, that girl. Oh, assalamu alaikum. Ki ala, how are you? Tik tak. Is everything all right? That person's passing to the side of the road. No need for this. All of this shaitan who's making you do this. Shaitan, all dirty impurities coming into you because we are following, so you can follow your nafs and shaitan. Come, let's take hold of the great way of the Prophet. If you follow his ideology, his implementation, his habit, he didn't look to the right, to the left. He just followed his path straight and didn't, and he minded his own business. Allahu Akbar, Kabira. Kabira. So my brothers, peace we need, we require. Allah's Nabi has brought us the cure, the solution to attain peace. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala sent me to the world so I can distribute and teach you the method to live a life of peace. And how? Through my style, through my manners, through my conduct, through my akhlaq, through my whole way of life, through my tariqah. And this is the sunnah-e-sharifa, the honorable sunnah. So my brothers, however, if we take hold of the sunnah of Rasul, we will continue this verse. Time has ended. That Allah Ta'ala has broken mischief. What is mischief and what is the way to break mischief, and why did fasad come? Because we've left the sunnah and the tariqah, the way of the Prophet, and that's why our whole world today, I'm talking about the Islamic world, is stood on the bank of Jahannam. Murder, fighting, enmity and selfishness in between each other. Forget the ghayr with the strangers. Not one country is a friend of another country. Not one country gives benefit to another country. One country today, if you want to do something, they want benefit, they make other people slaves. They're my ghulams, they're under us, under Rafid. Oh, he's not from here, he's from another country. Forget about Muslims, and forget about, for example, a person who's from another nation, they squeeze him so much, they take his oil out from his bones. If you come to our country to work, they break their rights. If a Muslim goes to another country to work, they'll have different rights. And their houses will be different, their areas will be different. This country doesn't do that. They maintain the rights. You don't have that discrimination here. But today, the place where the Holy Prophet ﷺ came with their khalaq, because they've left the sunnahs, there's wealth, dunya, they are worldly people, not dini people. Why? They follow their nafs, they follow their nafs, they worship their desires. They worship the desires, so they're worldly people. They worship the desires and shaitan. Oh, we don't care that they're Muslims, they're from another country. You do this, you do that. Slaves, workers, servants, they crush them. They work them blind. People who come from the poor countries to the rich countries, we say it's an Islamic country, and they get beaten with the shoes. Oh, what Islam is this you're following? What Islam? What Muslim, they say? They treat them like slaves. Keep the Islam to yourself, they say. This Islam doesn't follow it. No, I've heard these things myself. I've heard these words myself from their mouths, the masters, when they treat people like slaves, that this is a Muslim country, and they say, how dare you tell us about this Islam? So my brothers, how long does this stay? A life of a bubble, how long does it last? The bubble, it spreads it, and it enlarges, then it splits, it breaks. How long will we live the life of pride and pomp? Eventually we'll dive into the grave and our flesh will decay. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to follow the Sunnah Sharia. Remember this. Remember this. That is the person who is a foolish person who leaves the Holy Prophet ﷺ, Sunnah Sharia, and seeks peace. Write this and stamp this on a sheet with his home, family, outside, wife, children, business. Write this down, inscribe this. The Quran says, don't even imagine the life of peace will come. The question doesn't arise. Poor, it will not come. If you're rich, it will not come. If you're a millionaire, it will not come. Everything you've got, even then peace will not come to your life. Contentment, this is the promise, clear of the promise of the Quran. Never a person can attain peace in the world. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِهُونَ Allah says, these are people who spread mischief in the earth. They say, we are peacemakers only. Allah says, they are liars. They are indeed the mischief makers. Another title comes, يَكْذِبُونَ And on top of that, Allah says, that these people are not they are mufsidun. They are the mischief makers. Repent today, peace will come into the house. Break the idols and take and bring the Holy Prophet Sunnah into the household, into the life. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alayhi sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا فضلنا وجدنا خطانا وضلنا كل سنة اللهم إنك عفو طيب فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو طيب رب اغفر لهم من داخل الواهمين رب اغفر لهم من داخل الواهمين ربي اغفر لهم يا ذا الجلال والاكرام يا رحمن الرحيم لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوه الا بالله ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين لا اله الا سبحانك إني كنت من الصالحين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت ربي اغفر وارحمنا أنت خير واحد ربي اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارحمنا ربي اغفر وارحمنا أنت خير واحد ربي اغفر أنت ربي اغفر وارحمنا وارحمنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت بالظالمين اللهم إني أتوب إليك منا وشهد يا الله مالك رحم عفو الماضي يا الله توم مالك رحم عفو الماضي يا كرام خوف الماضي يا الله تكرم فرما رحم فرما يا الله تكرم فرما یا اللہ اپنے ذاو سے بچال لے یا اللہ اپنے رحمت مولا معاملہ کرو معافی مولا یا اللہ تو رحمت کو بسن فرماتا ہے میرے مولا یہ رحمت کی وسعت زیادہ ہے تیرے ذاو سے میرے تیرے غضب سے میرے مولا اللہ تیری رحمت ٹھکانہ ہے تیرے ذاو سے بچنے کا ایک نہیں یا اللہ تیری سزاؤں سے بچنے کا ایک ہی ٹھکانہ ہے میرا وہ تیری رحمت ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ اس ٹھکانے میں ہمیں داخل فرما دے یا کریم یا کریم اللهم عين على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا الله پوری امت پر رحم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ پوری امت پر رحم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہم بکھر چکے ہیں یا اللہ ہمیں جمع فرما دے یا اللہ ہم بکھر چکے ہیں ہمیں جمع فرما دے نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت کے جھنڈے کے نیچے ہمیں جمع کر دے میرے پوری امت بکھر چکی ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہم بکھر چکے ہیں سب کو جمع کر دے میرے مولا نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے جھنڈے کی
Ya Allah, tu hum se roz raazi ho jaye, wardan na taqabbal. Ya Allah, tu hum se raazi ho jaye. Ya Allah, tu hum se raazi ho jaye. Ya Allah, jo bimar hai mere mola, unko shifa ata farma. Ya Allah, jo bimar hai, unko shifa ata farma. Ya Kareem, jo bimar hai, kuch sa farma. Afiyat naseeb farma, sukoon naseeb farma, ajr naseeb farma mere mola. Ya pareshan haal unki pareshani ko dur farma de mere mola, apna karam farma. صلى الله تعالى على دار خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وعلي صحبه اجمعين میرے مولا اپنے حبیب پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے سے میرے مولا یا اللہ آپ کی کالی کملی کے صدقے سے کالی چادر کے صدقے سے میرے مولا آپ کے نوازوں کے صدقے سے میرے مولا یا اللہ یا اللہ یا اللہ خاتون جنت کے صدقے سے بس عائشہ صدیقہ تقدس کے صدقے سے یا اللہ تو کرم فرما دے یا اللہ تو کرم فرما دے میرے مولا ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله